play Separate and Equal, we see a group of teenagers, three white and three black, playing a game of pickup basketball. This might not seem all that unusual, but the action is set in Birmingham, Alabama in 1951, where such a game was actually illegal, and just being on the court together could result in severe penalties. The story is drawn from testimony in the Oral History Project at the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, and it illuminates the era in a deeply personal way. Separate and Equal is on stage at the 59E59 Theater until September 30th, and I'm delighted that it brings the playwright and director, Seth Panich, to our show now, along with two of its stars, Adrian Baidu and Ross Birdsong. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seth, I'd like to start with you. Give us a little background here. This play is produced by the University of Alabama in partnership with the Birmingham Metro NAACP and the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. How much of it is based on an actual historical incident?
Well, the incident itself is made up, and that's sort of the thrill of the play itself, because as you mentioned, if this would have happened, there would have been dire consequences for these teens. So really what I did was, when I researched at the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, the Oral History Project, like you mentioned, is to look at all of these incredible stories and use that sort of as the soil to tell, if we could, a modern story about how we're separate and how we're equal. So there are aspects of the story and aspects of those characters that I did take from that project, but it really was a launching point to tell a story that we could connect with today.
Did you find anything in the Oral History Project about black and white kids playing basketball together or playing together in any way that inspired that thread of the story?
No, I mean, really what we found was this sort of strain of the terror of playing together. And actually, in the museum itself, they have one of the code books from the 50s that list all of these codes and how they were codified, which really was the reason why I wanted to write the play. To me, that was the most shocking thing that I saw, is the amount of effort that was put into separating people, which tells you that our natural form is to be together, is to be related, which is what the play's about, that the relation that we have together and how it's pulled apart. So most of what I heard is the terror of even playing cards, of being too close to somebody in a restaurant or in a bar, and how that was negotiated by segregation.
Adrian, you're originally from Ghana, correct?
Yes.
How much of this segregationist history in America were you aware of before you took on this play?
That is a great question. I will say, once you come to America and you go through the American school systems, it's something that is quite prevalent and very much so taught. So, you know, going into this subject matter wasn't new to me or anything. You know, I came over to America when I was 7, so I've been here for a while. You know, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
But it is. It's very interesting to study the American dynamic when it comes to race. It is a special topic in and of itself. And doing this play every night just reminds me how ingrained the topic of race is into our American culture.
Does this setting 60 years ago, 70 years ago, does it feel distant or does it feel current?
It's so interesting you say that. It feels, there are definitely strong echoes of it nowadays, but it really still, it feels distant to me. And so whenever I do the show and then I go and meet people in the audience afterwards, I'm always so amazed when older folks are like, wow, that was my life.
Wow.
That was for me. And I mean, when you think about this, this was what, 70 years ago? Nowadays, that's not even a complete lifetime away. You know what I mean? As far away as it feels to me in our actions and what we're saying and what we're doing, it really isn't all that far, far away.
Ross, you're a recent graduate of the University of Alabama. Congratulations.
That's right. Thank you.
So all of this history did happen before you were born. Mm-hmm. Does it feel familiar to you? How much of it were you aware of?
Familiar, no. As I got to make that clear, but it's there and it's been there. We went to the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum, as we said, and you know, you can make a museum to something and it makes it seem farther away. But no, I know these people, and people that have come to our show, especially in Alabama, have mentioned, as Adrian said, that like this was their life and they were these boys. So
Did you, all of you go together to the museum? Is that mm-hmm.
we said? Did? Yeah, that was as a cast. As a cast, cast. Wow. Yeah. It was a nice bonding experience.
And was Seth there as well? Was Seth a professor?
Yes, he's a professor at the university, writer director, and it was at his invitation to go to the museum. He paid for all our tickets, and
nice. Yeah. He sure did.
Seth, why did you want it? Yeah, go ahead. Why did you want to take the cast there?
I thought it was important for us to go as a group there, just because that's really, the playwright, you try to get everybody involved in the soil of the piece and where it came from in you, and you try to get that communication off the page. And for me, that museum was really the turning point in my ideas about the play, so I just wanted to make sure we could all go to the source of it instead of me trying to translate the source of it.
Adrian, you play a young man named Calvin mm-hmm. Richardson, and he's a college student with a seemingly bright future. It mm-hmm. was certainly rare for African Americans in Birmingham to go to college in those days. Why was it important for Calvin Richardson to play basketball?
That's a very good question. And it... So within the backdrop of the story, we yeah. see the black side of the court and we see the white side of the court. And this would be realistic. The white side was so much better. Mm. And Calvin, for me, represents...
The actual court itself.
Yeah, yeah. Would be so much better mm-hmm. and so much more preserved. And so the Calvin so much represents, for me, black people trying to ascend in... culture. And so when he sees that the court that is kept out of reach for him, it's almost metaphoric that he's going to strive towards it, that he wants to play this game, that he wants to play on this court. Mm-hmm. It's a literal thing, also I think a metaphoric thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ross, what is, your character is Edgar Roberts. Mm-hmm. What's his history with Calvin?
With Calvin?
Yeah.
childhood friends. Calvin's mother works for my mother. And so I assume that he's always been around the house. We grew up being playmates, not, seeing anything different with each other until it was brought to our attention. And there's several scenes in our show that where you see the training occur in both kids that brings them up to speed of the social standards and rules that they have to abide by. Mm-hmm. And you see that training, that's one of the most powerful scenes every night for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They when they meet on the court, they're with two friends, from what I understand.
Right, right, right.
And it's a Wednesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Can you explain why the day of the week is significant in this context?
Yeah, so really, Sunday at a specific time would be the only time that blacks are allowed to play on this court. So for them to be there on a Wednesday is a major deal. It's a major violation. And so it really heightens the world of the play. You start to see how serious of an issue it is that we are just playing together versus, like, you know what I mean? It's Wednesday. Yeah. Oh, but if it was Sunday, oh yeah, you can be here. But it's a different day, so this is a big deal. Wow. And you see how ridiculous that is, that little thing is in nature. And so it really, it's a small detail, but it's very important knowing what day they are playing the exact same thing they would play, maybe not with each other, but the exact sure. same game they'd play on a different day.
And in terms of playing together, Seth, can you talk about what would happen if they were caught playing together, if police officers who keep coming by this court see the black kids and the white kids playing together?
Well, they're in violation of a specific code called 597. And this code, the incredible thing about the code is it talks about everything that they can't do together. And they must have spent days trying to figure out every possible game that black and white kids could possibly play together to separate them. They would probably be thrown in jail for this.
Wow.
And the issue with jail is that once the African-Americans go into jail, anything can happen. Right? That's really away from prying eyes. And that's when the police would train these young men to make sure they didn't come back here again. So it for the blacks, it was incredibly fraught with danger to play this game at all, to even be on the court with them at the same time. They're, in some respects, putting their lives in their hands.
Seth, you stage this quite beautifully as a kind of modern dance set to an original jazz score. The game is played, though, the basketball game on the stage is played without an actual ball, but with projections of the hoops on the backboards so we can see if a shot scores. How did you come up with this?
Well, it was sort of trial and error, right? So my first idea of it was I really wanted to play a basketball game in front of the audience. Luckily, that idea did not last longer than 2 minutes because, of course, what's going to happen is the ball's flying out there and someone's nose is going to fly back at us, right? So we knew that couldn't work. So then from there, I had to try to figure out how that could be experiential. And once you take the ball out of their hands, it becomes a symbol, right? It becomes experiential. It becomes expressionistic. And so to take that to its limit would be, can I take basketball and turn it into not just dance, but an emotional expression of how the black and white kids relate to each other throughout the game, and also an integrated game, which they eventually fall into. So movement and dance, I felt, would be would take the audience away from literalism and would also allow them to look at the game as an acting moment and not as something separate from the play, just as the flashbacks Ross mentioned in terms of understanding how these kids have been trained also needed to be a part of the action of these boys together.
Now, from what I understand, so the stage is the court, and then the audience is seated
around. And the audience, the audience doesn't necessarily sit around it. I think they sit in it. So part of the audience's feet, and it's interesting for us to watch as the play begins. You know, they're all relaxed. They've had a long day, a big dinner, and their feet might be sticking a little out into the court. And once they see these kids flying around, their feet sort of inch back a little bit as it's claimed the court. But what I like about it is that the audience can't remove themselves from the action. They have to partake in it. That's what I love about how close they are in this production.
Adrian and Ross, what was challenging for you about the choreography, or what was interesting for you to try to experiment in terms of the choreography, since it's so unique?
I think for me, it wasn't so much what was challenging about the choreography, but it was how do I get past the choreography and get to the acting of it? What am I saying with the choreography? So it was our whole first week was just rehearsing the choreography. Like, we didn't even get really much to the text. It was really the focus. And I think it was very smart on Seth's part, because he knew we weren't going to be able to really dig in deep and like discuss the messages of what the movement's doing if we didn't feel comfortable doing the movement, because it is really a lot and a lot of moving pieces, and this guy moves over here, then I set for this guy, and like I'm blocking for this guy. Like, it really is this weaving tapestry. So I think the challenge of there was just really getting comfortable with it, and then once we were comfortable with it, we could really start to dig in once we had that foundation.
Sure. And what about for you, Ross, in terms of the fast-paced nature of it?
I think people are surprised, because it is so fast paced, that we stay so controlled. We spent like a 40-hour work week the first week just working on spacing and ball movement and stuff.
Wow.
So I think people are nervous when they read, hey, we're playing a basketball game in this, closed court.
Yeah.
But I think once you see it, it's an art, it's a dance piece.
Have you two ever played actual basketball together?
Oh, I've sure tried.
My history of basketball was trying out for the 7th grade team and getting cut. So that was that.
Good thing basketball wasn't a requirement.
Right, yes.
Taking on
this is my chance.
Seth, the title of the play, Separate and Equal, is obviously a play on the term separate but equal. Why did you make that small but significant word change in there?
Well, for me, that's sort of the point of the piece, is that we are separated from each other, and yet we're intimately related. White and black in this country has a longer history than the people that came to this country as immigrants at the turn of the century. It's as old as this country itself is white and black. And so there is a relation. There really is a fraternal relation between us. And so I wanted to make sure it wasn't separated with the but. It was together. And even though we're related, I still feel that we're separated with all of the effort that we talked about in these codes. We create this extra effort to do something which is, at base, unnatural.
Separate and Equal is at the 59E59 theaters until September 30th. Seth, will it play anywhere else after this run ends on September 30th?
Well, you know, it possibly can, and your lips to the deity's ear. That would be wonderful. We have a number of people who've come see it that have talked to us about what the next step for the production would be. To be honest, we work so hard and so intensely on this that our focus is right at the edge of our nose right now. But as we get closer to the end, we are going to see where this has its next life, and we've gotten a lot of terrific interest from people that want to make sure that this keeps playing so people can keep experiencing this.
Very good. Seth, Adrian Ross, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of this run, and thank you for joining us on Midday.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Matt Katz, and I've been speaking with Seth Panich about writing and directing the new play Separate and Equal, along with actors Adrian Baidoo and Ross Birdsong.